Brother Chris, thank you for coming today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I know I've told you 100 times before, if you want to know who brews the coffee. Hebrews, that's right. Hebrews chapter 11. One verse today I want to focus on. Verse 30, Hebrews 11, 30. And if you're able to, I'm going to ask you to stand as we read God's Word, that one tremendous verse. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30 says, "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days." Father, bless your word. In Christ's holy name, amen. Please be seated. If we go back to Hebrews chapter, or to Joshua, where the actual story unfolded, Joshua chapter 1, God said, "Joshua, Moses has died. The great leader, the great prophet Moses is dead. Now, Joshua, I'm going to lead you. I've already given you the land, but you're going to have to go into the land. You have to cross over the Jordan, and you're going to have to fight for the land." And so here in Joshua chapter 6, we see the story of this happening, the walls of Jericho. But here in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews looks back at that great, tremendous miracle that happened and says, "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell and the people marched around them for 7 days." Very few stories are as known, the book of Jonah, you know, the story of Jonah, maybe Daniel in the lion's den, and some of the miracles of Jesus. Very few stories are known as much as this one. But I want you to know one important fact as we begin the message today, and that is that it was totally impossible for them to take Jericho. It was utterly impossible. A very smart man or a smart woman would say, "We can't do it." And they would walk away because it was totally impossible. Some things are impossible, and this was impossible. But God's people, we know what happened. The impossible became possible. It happened. How did it happen? It happened by faith. Real simple. How do you get through a bad day? How do you get through a bad year? By faith. That's the only way you're going. It's that simple. It sounds complex, and we make it complex, but that's why a child can understand it. Because it's real simple. We just trust Him. We let Him have our problems. We let Him walk us through the difficult, the dark times, the valley of the shadow of death, by faith. That's simple. Well, what kind of faith would it take to cause the walls of Jericho, the mighty, enormous walls, to come crashing down? Let me suggest 5 simple questions or answers to that question today. Let me give you a few of those. Number one, what kind of faith? And there's our verse again. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people marched around them 7 days. Okay? First thing I want you to understand this morning about faith is this faith that caused the walls of Jericho to fall had very enormous odds. The odds were against them. Tremendous. It was impossible. Jericho was located not far from the Jordan River. They had already crossed over the Jordan. And when they crossed over, obviously God had already told them that I've already given you the land, but you have to conquer it. You have to fight for it. The Canaanites, they built this incredible fortress that nobody could conquer, and nobody had conquered. And any army that came and saw this enormous wall, or some multiple walls on the city. There was a lower wall and there was an upper wall, and I'm going to show you a little diagram in a minute. But anybody that saw this would say, "We're not touching it. We can't do it. We can't, you know, we'll get killed. We cannot, there's no way. But over the last 150 years, archaeologists have dug an enormous amount of research and found out what actually the walls looked like. They had two walls, an inner wall and an outer wall. One maybe down low, and then had the lower city, part of the city, and then maybe a higher wall, and up that was the upper city. So it was just an incredible, had water source and everything, so they had everything they needed. And so let me show you sort of a little, maybe a little bit of a diagram, if you see that. So perhaps that was a little bit more flat, and that was more of a, I'll show you another video, another slide in a minute. Perhaps, so that was a city in that area, but you see how enormous the wall is, and somebody down there would be like a little speck of dust compared to this enormous wall. They had to conquer that and then scale that too. And so it was just unobtainable. It was just enormous. Whoever designed this, the architect or the engineer or whatever of that day, did a tremendous job. And here's perhaps what, in some way, what it looked like as well. So you see, you had a lower city and an upper city, and had the walls, different walls, and you see how maybe the people marching around the walls would look at it. And I'm not sure how high the walls are, but according to those 150 years of archaeology, they give us some dimensions here. This guy named Bryant Wood described the famous walls of Jericho. He said, the mound is also called a tell. Whenever they have ruins, they find ruins that created a hill, they call it a tell, T-E-L-O. It's kind of unusual. When I first went to Israel years ago and they talked about tell, I was dumbfounded. I didn't even know what they were talking about. But it's the ruins and stuff are called a mound or a tell. And so here's what this archaeologist said. He said the mound or tell of Jericho was surrounded by a great earthen embankment with a stone retaining wall at its base. And he says the retaining wall was 12 feet to 15 feet high. On top of that was a mud brick wall 6 feet thick, 6 feet thick, about 20 to 26 feet high. At the crest of the embankment was a similar mud brick wall whose base was roughly 46 feet above the ground level outside the retaining wall. Humanly speaking, he says it was impossible for the Israelites to penetrate the walls of Jericho. And this guy goes on to mention that the city was well prepared because they had a spring inside the city. They had harvest. It was around harvest time when, just so happened to be harvest time when Joshua and them came to that city to conquer it. And so the city had plenty of food, they had plenty of water, and obviously they had fortification. But the walls fell anyway. It was insurmountable odds. Just think about your own life. I'm sure there's times when you said, this is just impossible. I don't know if I can get to it. I can't get through it another day. I can't handle this. It's too much. Insurmountable. I can't conquer it. This wall is just too much God has put in front of me. You may not have said that. Your children may have said it. Your grandchildren, your brother, your sister, your neighbor. And maybe God put you around them to say, yes, you can. You can get through this. Let me tell you a story in the Bible where the walls of Jericho, it was unconquerable. It was impossible. But they got through it. It was unsurmountable odds, enormous odds, but they made it through it. Let me give you the second truth. This type of faith, it follows a strange plan. So don't always think that it's going to be a real simple, I can figure it out plan to get through your problems. Because it sure wasn't in the scriptures. almost all of the incredible miracles and wonderful things that we see from the Old Testament and New Testament, there were some strange things that God did to do what He did. And He still does those. In Joshua chapter 6, God had instructed them to do some very unusual things. And that's where the story is of Jericho falling. Joshua chapter 6. And none of these things had military value. Even though there were soldiers, this was Israeli army, you could say, or Hebrew army. None of these things had a military value. It wasn't what we would have done. Let me give you a little synopsis of what they were. God says, told Joshua, march around Jericho once a day for 6 days. And that's Joshua chapter 6, verse 3. Then He says, march with the Ark of the Covenant. I want you to march with that enormous, in just a moment I'm going to remind us what was in the Ark of the Covenant. So mark with this, it's much more than just a religious piece of furniture. It meant the presence of God. So I want you to march with the Ark of the Covenant with you. And He says, I want you to put 7 priests in front of the Ark. Put those priests there in front of the Ark as they march. On the 7th day, you march 7 times. Not one time, but on that 7th day, Joshua chapter 6 verse 5 says, march 7 times on the 7th day. And sort of we see it, we've seen it in Revelation, and we see it throughout the Scriptures. 7 is a number of completion to God. It's very important. The days of the week are 7. We see it in the end times and in all of the Scriptures. He said the priests are to blow those shofars, the ram's horn. Blow the ram's horn. Very strange, but that's what God says. And He said the 7th time that you're marching around the city of Jericho, on the 7th day, on the 7th time, you begin to shout. And I can imagine when they begin to shout, you know what happens? You get one person shouting in a room. It's pretty nerve-wracking, isn't it? You're wondering, what's going on? Some kid will start shouting, or your grandchild or child, and you're wondering, is somebody dying? Or what are y'all shouting for? So you can imagine all of these people shouting. God used that in a mighty way, which we see many times in the Scriptures. God used shouting or making a lot of noise. It shook up the enemy. God knows what He's doing. And then He says, if you do all of that, you follow My strange plan, the walls are going to come down. See that in verse 5. And He said, then I want you to go into the city and go ahead and conquer it. Conquer the city, enter the city, and do what? I've already given you the city, but you've got to go in, God says, Joshua, and you've got to conquer it. So essentially, God told them that the walls would fall. They're going to fall. He told them that they were. But you've still got to march. You've still got to do the legwork. And isn't that true of our own life? We know God's going to see us through. We know, as Brother Chris said, God's going to be there. He's not going to leave us or forsake us. But we have to still trek on. We've got to go through that muck and mire of this life. We've still got to go through those extremely dark days and difficult, painful, stressful, anxiety and all those things that can come upon us real easily in this life. We have to march, even though we know that God is going to be with us the way. It's still very difficult. We still got to march. We've got to work out through our fears and anxieties and all of that. And they had to do it as well. With plenty of food and water, Jericho could have held out for years. But the walls fell in a very strange way. Joshua added a few other details that I want to mention as well. He told the people to be quiet. He said, be quiet. as you march around the city, I don't want you talking. I don't want you. He said, God says, I don't want you carrying on a bunch of things, you know, talking about your family back wherever in the tents. No, you, he told them, be quiet as they march around the city. He put soldiers in front of the priest, and he put soldiers behind the ark. He had the priest, as I sort of mentioned, blow the shofar, the ram's horn, continuously. Not just a little chant or a little, you know, but continuously. Hey, let's suppose you and I've never been there. You go to the Great Wall of China, and you see that enormous, long, meandering, snaking wall around China, through North China, and for hundreds of miles. You know, what would it take to bring a wall down? That it would take, it would seem impossible, and it would take enormous faith for something like that to happen. God can do it, but again, to us, it would seem just like it did to Joshua. It would seem insurmountable, impossible. Let me give you the third truth this morning. This kind of faith that the walls of Jericho fell was a faith that God would give them, that he'd give them the victory. He'd give them encouragement, confirmation that they're serving the right God. They're serving the one true God. He'd give them the victory. And we get two hints from that, from the story. God said he was going to give them the city. We already know that. We talked about that. Joshua chapter 6 verse 2 tells us that. It actually says, I think I may even have it on your screen. Here's what it says. See, God says in Joshua chapter 2, this is before it happened. I have delivered you or into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. So God tells Joshua beforehand, he uses the tense, I have delivered, as if it's already done. Because when God says it's done. And God said, you may not have done it yet, but it's already done. I have delivered Jericho into your hands with the king and everybody else that are fighting. I have delivered. It's a done deal. Those walls are coming down. It's just a matter of time. You just got to go conquer. You just got to go. And it's like that in our lives. Sometimes we don't want to go. We're fearful. We're up. We're tired. But we just have to press on. We just have to keep going to get through it, because God is going to help carry us through it. But we just have to do our part. We've got to keep going. And I know that doesn't surprise you and I, who believes in God, because when God speaks, it's done. It's real time. The battle was over before it started. God promised to deliver them, and he made good on his promise. There's another little nugget there that I want to share with you. God put himself in the middle of the battle plan when he put the Ark of the Covenant where he did. When he put that out front, God was essentially saying, I'm leading this band. I'm leading this group. God put himself there in the middle of the battle plan by having the priest carry the Ark of the Covenant as they marched around Jericho. And let me remind you what was in the contents of the Ark of the Covenant. Ten Commandments. A copy of the Ten Commandments. Extremely special. Ten Commandments. Golden pot of manna. Some manna in a golden pot was in that Ark of the Covenant. And thirdly, Aaron's rod that was used against Pharaoh. Aaron's rod that budded was in that too. So essentially, God used this. We know that it also had a lid on the Ark of the, a golden lid on it called the mercy seat. And so it was where the high priest would sit when they would carry out sacrifices and stuff, or where they would offer sacrifices for the Holy of Holies once a year on the Day of Atonement. And that's in Leviticus chapter 16. So it was not just another piece of religious furniture. It was very, very sacred because it represented God's holy presence, his Shekinah glory, the glory of God. So putting the ark out front was like God saying, I'm leading this parade. And that's what he was saying. And so it was not a time to fight. At this moment, it was not for spears and armor. The Jews could never scale the wall on their own and fight like that. It was divine psychological warfare. And we see it throughout Scripture in many, many occasions. The people of Jericho didn't know it, but they were defeated before the walls even came down. They lost the battle because God got involved. That's why they lost it. You know, there was a day when this gentleman here, Robert Morrison, the guy on my left, Robert Morrison, was a passenger on a ship to China. And history records that Mr. Morrison, who was a Protestant minister, I think he was born around 1830s or something, 1834 or something. History records that he was the first missionary to go into China, first Protestant missionary to do mission work in China. One day, the captain of the ship that he was traveling on asked Mr. Morris a very unusual question. He said, "Mr. Morris, what do you think you're going to do, convert China?" And Mr. Morrison said, "No, I don't think I'll ever convert China, but I think God will." And I think that's the way we have to look at life. I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can make it another day. I don't think I can overcome things. But we've got to always remember God can. Amen? God can, if he chooses to. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said he may not get us out of this fiery furnace. We may burn up in here. But we're going to serve him anyway. We're going to worship him anyway. Only he can. We can't do it on our own. Our faith should not say that we can reach the people of Montgomery, that we can overcome our adversities. None of that. It should say God can. God will. If he wants to, he will. Let me give you the fourth little truth about faith this morning. Faith that it's the type of faith that expresses itself in obedience. Active obedience. If God is the real hero of the story, and he is, then we face a question. Here's a question. Why did God ask the people to do these strange things, to march around the city for 6 days and then seven times on the seventh day? Why? Because faith in the Lord Jesus is not passive faith. It's active faith. God wants us to do things. Active. He honors the active. He honors the living faith. With shoe leather. Faith that does something. Think about this for a moment. God could have said, "Sit tight, I'll take care of it. Don't do anything. I've got this one. I'll knock over the walls. I'll destroy the city. I'll even bring all the stuff to you." He can do whatever he wants to without us. He doesn't need us. But he wants to use us. That's his normal plan for people just like you and I to accomplish incredible things, to get through life, to help people, to help lead people to Jesus, to encourage people they need Jesus. And that's what the writer of Hebrews wants us to understand. By faith, active faith, the walls fell down. Not just saying, "I believe," but it's active faith. The walls fell down. Let me give you the last one, and I'm through. This type of faith presses on in spite of doubts. If you're human, you're going to doubt things. John the Baptist doubted. You remember Jesus said he was the greatest. But when he was in a crisis, when he was thrown in prison, he had doubts. Job doubted. Many other people in the Scriptures too. We do too. We have our moments. Sometimes it is in those more severe times of life. But you have to believe something before you can have faith. You have to believe it. If you go to a doctor, you have to believe that he can help you in some way, or you'll never go to the doctor in the first place. Unfortunately, I would say when we're talking about believing, some people stop their definition of faith right there. They think faith is belief plus nothing else. I just believe, that's my faith, I believe. I don't have to do anything, I don't never have to have any doubts. Faith to them is like pure belief without any mixture of doubt. I wish it were that way, but because of what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden, we're riddled with sin and deprivation and all of those things. So we're fallen humanity, and we're going to doubt sometimes. Even the strongest, Job again, John the Baptist, all of us are going to have our moments of doubt. People who truly believe that faith always means 100% certainty, I believe they're confused. In truth, there's always a little bit of mixed unbelief with our belief. Let's say you have to make a big decision, or let's say one of your loved ones, your family member needs a job, and they get a very good job offer, but they have to move to a far part of the country, or maybe even out of the country. And it's a great opportunity. They need this job. Things are falling into place. There's a house for twice the price. We're in a great area. God has opened up some tremendous doors. He made some incredible things available already. But some of your loved ones, friends, and maybe even you are a little skeptical. You have doubts whether they should leave or not. They should take the children out of school or not and move them to a faraway area. But everything seems to be falling into place. Seems like God's divine hand is on that. And your loved one that's received this job offer wrestles with it. Instead of laying there sleeping like they should, they're tossing and turning. Wrestling, should I go? Should I not go? They have doubts. We all have doubts. It's reality. Nothing really, because of our fallen humanity, with us, is as it should be. I think many people think living by faith means getting certainty on just about everything. But we can't do that. I wish we could. We know what we believe, and we know what the Scriptures say. But we're human. I would think sometimes people that think that we must get certainty before we move forward and do anything, we must be sure 100% before we go ahead and do anything. That's not living faith. That's stalling faith is what it is. Because they're just stalling. I don't want to do this until I know. I want to see the handwriting in the sky. You can imagine Jericho. They're saying, God, we want to be sure that you want us to march around and march seven times on the seventh day. We want to be sure that you want us to blow these shofars and all these other things. I ran across a quote from Hudson Taylor. Excuse me. Here's this quote. Hudson Taylor. Here's what he said. He's a missionary to China as well. And he did some amazing things. God used him in a mighty way. And he said, there are three stages in most great undertakings, great tasks. People that do things for God, that step out and say, I'm not sure, I may have doubts, but I feel like God's leading me this way. He wants me to push through this. He wants me to do this. And I'm going to have active faith. He says there's three steps, usually, three stages. Impossible, difficult, done. Think about your life. There's some things that's happened in your life that you said, this is impossible. I just can't deal with it. It's impossible. But day went by, 2 days went by, 3 days, 4 days, a week went by, and you were able to get through it. It was still difficult because your life was still, you were still hurting, you were still struggling, You're in conflict, but it went from impossible to difficult. And it did that way with walls of Jericho. It was impossible. But God was already doing the work. He'd already done it. And it was difficult. They had to conquer the land. They had to march. They had to go up all those rocks. I'm sure God didn't make real nice, perfect paved steps up there to the upper city. They probably still had to climb up those rocks. And it was difficult, I'm sure. Just like it's difficult in your life when you go from impossible to the next phase. But eventually you get through that. Weeks pass, months pass, years pass, and you look back and you say, I don't know how I got through that. It was done. I made it through it. It was last year, or it was 2 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 20 years ago. Impossible, difficult, done. Here's the real battle. Just like the real battle with the children of Israel. It wasn't Jericho. It was in them trusting God. It was in their own heart. And so wherever God's working with you this morning, just say, God, work in my heart the way you know what's best to do. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we know that we can't make it without you. Help us, Lord, to help this church to keep displaying active obedience. Help this church, Lord. Help our precious people here, Lord. I don't know. Some may be going through an impossible situation right now. May they keep pressing, Lord. May they not give up. And they get to the difficult stage where it's still going to be difficult. And then they look back years later and they can tell their children and grandchildren, if they're still around, that you worked through it, Lord. It was done. Father, have your way with our people, whatever it may be today, whether it's salvation, someone that realizes they're lost today, may they get saved right where they sit, or whether it's just rededication, or just, Lord, just ask for repentance of things that they need to repent of. In Christ's holy name, amen.